Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Each building around us exists because someone, and very likely many people, applied expertise to plans, working with specific tools and materials to go from blueprint to complete construction. And the skills trade workforce itself is something that is built. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, however, more than 40% of that workforce is older than 45 years old. That means close to half are moving toward retirement versus coming into their careers. Tomorrow morning in Olivet, St. Louis area high schoolers will have a hands-on, face-to-face opportunity to learn how they can join that early career cohort. The company hosting that event is ConstructReach. St. Louis native Paul Robinson is its founder and CEO, and he joins us now. Paul, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So nearly half of that skilled trade workers population is closer, again, to retiring than to starting. How did we get there, Paul?
Yeah, you know, that is, it's very interesting. So for a long time, we've had this retirement crisis kind of looming over the industry. You know, when you think about even going all the way back to 2008, where we did have the recession, a lot of people left the industry and we never backfilled those positions at the same rate. And so when you have a generation that's aging out and the lack of awareness about the different career pathways that exist within construction, there's an opportunity for us to introduce that to a younger demographic. And so that's what's led to those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that young people in particular, that they have certain ideas about what a career in skilled labor means, and that that is the thing that puts them off the path?
Yeah, you know, it's a combination of things. Very good question. You know, there is a perception out there. One, it's limited from a younger demographic about the different career pathways that exists within construction. For one, they do see that, you know, it's a hard hat and a hammer. They may see what's taking place with certain projects or construction work, road work. But whatever your interest is, like, there is a career pathway within the industry that can account for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's being able to raise that awareness during some very formative years, especially as they are trying to navigate throughout their educational pathway and understand what's going to be their next steps. So you've seen a lot of educators start to implement CTE. And CTE stands for Career and Technical Education. And that is where you get a chance to introduce students to different career pathways that may exist. There could be a combination of aptitude tests that they're taking, work-based learning opportunities, internships, job sites, shadows, what have you. But it's all meant to allow them to move into those latter years of their high school education, being able to make an informed decision. And so when you have a combination of those things, all of those do work together to allow this younger demographic that the industry is in need of to understand what their options are within the sector of construction.
Mm-hmm. Traditionally, has it been through family that people come into the industry of the skilled workforce?
Yes. That has happened a lot where, you know, if you know somebody, if you have a family member that's within the industry, that's really where you're learning about it and the specifics of that. But now the industry is in such a need where you have a retirement crisis that's looming. And we're in it right now, actually, to where even if you got a chance to employ all of the younger demographic that's interested, we would still be short. So there is a need to really galvanize and introduce and showcase what you can do within the industry, regardless of what your interest may be, because it can happen with underneath that sector of construction.
Mm-hmm. So as I understand, when you were young, your interest was in basketball. So how did you go from basketball to construction?
Yes, that's true. I was interested in basketball. And when I was younger, I didn't make that connection between my father's height and what I was going to eventually be, right, in terms of height. But, you know, that was my first love. But I was always interested in drawing, always interested in seeing how buildings and developments came together. And so for me, even though, yeah, basketball was maybe the primary interest, the gifting and some of the other interests were within the industry of construction and design. And so, you know, when I went off to college, which was Kansas State University, that's what I majored in, was construction science management, where you got a chance to really get exposed to that construction and design side of things. And for me, you know, it was leaning into an interest that really was always there. But yes, it did get overshadowed by basketball when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. And you're sitting here in front of me. You are not wearing anything that looks like clothing that you would wear to a work site. In what ways does your personal story maybe challenge misconceptions about how to get into a career in skilled trades work? Like you mentioned college, right?
Yes. Yeah, you know, and that's, I think, one of the unique things about construction is that it offers different opportunities, regardless of a degree or non-degree. So you can go straight from high school into the industry, or you can go and major in a particular degree, such as I did, and then go into the industry as well. I think for me, you know, I've always been interested in fashion and different things like that. And so, yeah, I mean, this is who I am. I know when you look at construction workers while they're working, of course, you know, it looks very uniform. There's a certain look, but they have to lead the site, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they may have certain interests. And I think for us, it's being able to connect construction with a lifestyle, because it does impact all aspects of life, you know, and so it's being able to tie all of that together. You know, even with our events, we take into account that people care a lot about fashion, people have different interests, and you have all of those different components that fit up into, you know, our events, because that's who I am. So I don't necessarily really compartmentalize. This is kind of who I am. Very interested within the fashion aspect. Construction has a huge impact on the fashion industry,
mm-hmm.
you know, as well. As you can kind of tell with this,
it's a little distressed
and things like that.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think it's just being able to connect those things and maybe speak to it, because there's such a perception that's already out there that may be embedded, and it's being able to kind of have that paradigm shift and attach construction with just all of life.
Mm-hmm. Training and skills, these are two different things. What is important to understand about the connection between them and some of the distinctions insofar as how you are preparing young people to start careers in construction?
Yeah, you know, I think for us, it's trying to be that facilitator. You know, we seek to be a facilitator by uniting a lot of different stakeholders that play a role within the industry of construction, you know, and that could be career readiness programs, that could be workforce development programs that really specialize on the training aspect, you know, and then for us, you know, we really help our clients and our employers put together formalized internship programs where, you know, we could offer some of the professional development skill sets that helps with life as well, just to have them come into an environment, understand what those expectations are, but then also providing that training for the employees as well, so that they can lean into being more effective managers. And so for us, we do talk through both, but we have partnerships with organizations that really specialize in the job skills aspect.
Mm. Can you provide an example of that?
Yeah, so for sure. You know, the work that we get a chance to do, of course, you know, is allowed us to go nationwide. And so you have different career readiness programs that may exist. You know, for some of the work that we've done out in LA, there is Youth Build, which is, they're national. I think they're in like 200 plus cities or what have you, but we've had a longstanding kind of relationship with them as we move out to the West Coast. Our partner here, Murphy, you know, they are based here. They've been with us doing IBT since we started doing them in St. Louis and then even in Denver as well. And they have programs kind of around getting a younger demographic into opportunities as well. So as we are introducing high school students to the different career pathways that exist, we have these partners that help us facilitate and participate in the I Built This event and then attach next steps after that event as well, mm-hmm. as we're piquing their interest.
Yeah. What are the areas where the hiring need is greatest?
Yeah, you know, when you look at the skills trades, of course, that's a huge need. You know, construction is in a very interesting situation because from A to Z, you know, there are workforce development challenges and needs, right? But when you look at specific career pathways, especially with the onset of like more data centers and things of that nature, you have electricians that are coming to the forefront as a huge need. Of course, you have HVAC and things of that nature, plumbing, you know, and so those are the trades that a lot of young people may have some understanding of, but don't necessarily know all of the ins and outs, what it actually entails and the specifics of it to really make an informed decision. So we try to introduce that and then let them know what that need is and then the steps that they can take based on where they currently are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Paul Robinson. He's a St. Louis native and founder and CEO of the St. Louis-based company Construct Reach. Its work is to equip young people to fill an imminent gap in the skilled workforce. Skilled trade workforce. So when you are talking with young people about going into the skilled trades, is the biggest carrot how much money they are going to make?
You know, interestingly enough, it's not the biggest carrot. Now, it is a carrot. But one of the things that we try to do is affirm this generation and this younger demographic is very missional. And so they want to have a connection with the work that they do. And one of the things that we try to make sure that we are introducing is that with construction, you know, it's one of the few professions where you can actually see what your work contributed to, and you can actually see the fruits of that labor, like at the end of every single day. You know, I think sometimes, and it's not to speak negatively about any other sector or career pathway, but I think construction is unique in that way, where it's further along, the project is further along than it was the morning that you started by the end of the day. And it's being able to tie that in to different gifts. You know, one of the things that I always say to young people and to the adults that are listening in a room, right, when we have these events or when I'm speaking, is that, you know, everybody has something. Nobody has everything. And that keeps us in constant need of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's community, but that's also construction, because you have different trades that specialize in something, or people that may be gifted in a particular trade or career pathway, but they work together in a very comprehensive fashion, you know, through communication and things of that nature, and leveraging other skill sets so that a development can take place where people get a chance to experience that, you know. And so that's interdependence, right, where you get a chance to become better because of others, and maximize your potential because you're in partnership with other people that can bring their gifts to the table. That's the number one message. And so it's speaking to, you know, the aspirations, the hopes, the dreams, to the person first, then the money comes, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that we really lead with. And then if that's piquing your interest, then of course, yes, we're talking about the money and what you can make. You know, and it's not like they don't care about that, but we do take into account our audience and we speak about those things. And we're also having those conversations simultaneously with employers to say, hey, the industry has always paid well, but you can't just say, hey, we have 400 plus thousand jobs open at the moment and expect for the floodgates to open and people start to raise their hand. You have to understand who the audience is. You have to lean into maybe some of the things that have kept, you know, certain demographics from out of the industry and lean into that, and then being able to authentically talk through what you are doing as a company so that your brand can resonate. And then you introduce them to what their opportunities are based on what career pathway exists. And of course, that's where the money comes into play as well. So, yes.
Now, on the note of who is in the industry now and where there is need, front and center to Construct Reach's mission is reaching those from underrepresented backgrounds. What demographics are underrepresented in work that you have been discussing? And is it now even more crucial given what is happening around attacks on DEI?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, just to a simple answer, what demographics are not as represented? If you're not a white male, right, you're not as represented within the industry as you have the opportunity to be. And so for us, we try to highlight that, especially as we're growing more diverse. And even this younger demographic that is coming up, which is becoming of working age, that has just entered the point to where they are considering which career pathways exist. It's the most diverse that we've had ever. And so how do you be able to create a culture that is conducive to a demographic that doesn't, is not as represented within your organization? How do you overcome maybe certain blind spots or put them in a position to succeed? And I think that's what we try to introduce. It's allowing them to have an informed perspective as an employer, but then also recognizing what they need to do to not be perfect, but to be healthy enough to receive this younger demographic so that they can thrive, right? And then allowing them to be ambassadors within their own communities to attract those that may look like them. And so, because representation is important. If I can see myself being represented, then now I have more likelihood to pursue that because I think it's attainable for me.
Mm-hmm. That reachable part.
Yes, the reachable part.
Who will be at tomorrow's event, Paul, and what schools are you partnering with?
Yeah, so we get a chance to partner with University City High School once again. They got a chance to participate in the I Built This event that we did back toward the end of 2023. So it's always good to have them come back out, especially a school where they may have participated for the first time. And, you know, you get such positive feedback from not only the students, but the educators as well and leadership, because that's front and center, you know, for a lot of educators, especially with the industry of construction, is, okay, well, how can we put our students in positions to understand what this industry has to offer and how do we develop better working relationship with the industry as well? So that's been front and center for educators for quite some time now. Then we also have Novak Construction, who is based out of Chicago, so they're getting the chance to participate for the first time, who's hosting us. We have Murphy that's hosting us. You know, they provide a lot of the mechanical installations on certain projects or what have you. And so it's a nice, you know, kind of mix of general contractors, specialty contractors, concrete strategies, Vision Electric, you know, so we have all of these contractors that are coming out to participate in this. And so it's cool to kind of have different career pathways, different companies represented, and they are part of the project that is taking place as well that's on Olive and 170. And so, you know, being able to have that group is pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paul Robinson is the founder and CEO of Construct Reach, a St. Louis-based company that trains young people to pursue careers in skilled trades. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.